Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars
Eller! Every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, you made it through the weekend, through Mother's Day, through the Knicks debacle, through the baseball, came out the other side, and now we're here on Monday, May the 15th. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. I call him PIC, partner in crime, the lovely, talented, elite Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. How are you today?
Well, Mother's Day, I was a heroic figure, did everything that needed to be done. How are you as the voice? What's going on?
Oh, good. Had a great Mother's Day yesterday.
Yeah.
Took care of my beautiful wife and my mother-in-law. And sent some flowers and stuff to old Mickey Rourke in Boston. So everything was good.
Lovely, Mickey Rourke in Boston. It's just what we were hoping you would say about your mom.
I got to tell you, too, shout out to everyone in the company that DM'd me Happy Mother's Day for Cass. And then Anthony even sprinkled in a Happy Mother's Day to Mickey. Actually called my mom Mickey, which I thought was nice.
Hang on a second. How many DMs did you get?
Like three or four.
I got none.
Well, because you're not a man of the people.
Obviously.
Obviously.
I got not one.
Yeah, right, because you're not a man of the people.
I'm the everyman. I was born here.
Stop.
I was breastfed here.
Wow. All right, that's concerning right off the bat. You should have, first of all, you know it's not a great thing to say on Mother's Day?
I can't wait to hear this.
Well, you're not my mother.
Ooh.
I know you'd think it would go over well. It does not.
No.
No.
No. And you said that to Sherry, right?
Right.
Good.
Right. And yeah, no, it's not. It's a line that doesn't go over beautifully.
At what point of the day did you decide to say such wonderful
things? I said it, I think, on like Saturday night leading into Mother's Day. And then... and then said it again on Mother's Day morning, and not surprisingly enough, neither time did it go over swimmingly.
Yeah, you think you would have learned after the first time that it didn't go over well, that you just didn't keep that to yourself.
Here, she's in theory, in actuality, she's not my mother.
Yeah, but she birthed your children.
Right, but that's why I said that in actuality, in my opinion, they should do more for her on this day than I should, because... She's their mother.
I understand in theory.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't agree with you saying it. I'm going to start with that, and then on top of that, I think it's her expectation that you're the father, so you will help the children to make it a very special day for her.
Well, which I did. I facilitated. But here's the thing. These are not little children. That one of them is 16 and one of them is 12. So as much as I did facilitate, as you say, to make the day greater, I don't ultimately think it was really my responsibility to do such.
Okay, here's how you got to break this thing down. Okay,
okay.
Let me put it in it because you can't really understand because you there's a piece of whatever in your brain it's missing.
Right,
it's filled with giant memories and stats and where he went to college.
That's right.
I'm going to break this down for you in a sports analogy.
Okay, yes, I think that's the best thing. And I think in the future, if there's any way you can break it down for me in a sports analogy, it would be effective.
Okay, so how we're approaching Mother's Day for you is like Jalen Brunson was approaching Game 6. Game starts, he realizes it's just me. I have my children, RJ and Julius, but they're really not going to help us. They're not going to participate today. They're not going to give us what we need from them today. So I'm going to be the one that is going to have to do I'm going to have to take on the burden. I'm going to have to do a majority of the work to make this game, this Mother's Day, a success.
Which I absolutely did.
No, you didn't. You drove a lot. That's it.
No, how dare you? You don't know what I did. Crack of dawn, dogs, right? Crack of dawn, dogs. Then who has to wait on this out the door line at the bagel store to pick up a full melange of breakfast? Bagels, lox, sliced tomato, cream cheeses, egg salad, tuna salad, muffins, juice.
Sounds delicious.
Go to the other place, flowers. Two bouquets of flowers. That's me. Then I come home. Then I drive out to Long Island. Who makes eggs? Fluffy, beautiful eggs. Me. Then who serves this full breakfast at my mother's house? Me. Then we get into the car. Who drives us midday traffic into the city? Me.
I'm a hero.
We sit outside in an elite setup by me. And then we travel back home. Who drives? Me. So don't you dare say that I didn't do every single thing within my power. And much like Superman would do in one of the many Superman vehicles, that's what I was equivalent of. Elite. Thank you.
Yeah, but I was, okay, so I don't understand what happened then.
What do you mean?
Okay, so where's the disconnect? I'm not picking up.
Well, I just
say you're not my mother if you did so much.
Because she's not. So my thought is I should really be celebrating my mother more than my children's mother, but I guess it doesn't feel like that is something that's appropriate to say.
Well, what? Okay, hold on. So the bagels, the lox, the sliced tomato, and the egg salad, and the bouquet of flowers.
It was creamy, delicious egg salad.
I love egg salad. And the fluffy eggs, and you're serving this beautiful setting, and you're driving in Midtown Track, and you're Superman.
Yeah.
Okay, was that all for your mom and her mom? What did you get her?
What did I get Sherry?
Yeah. What did the kids get Sherry?
Well, it was no actual present. Oh. We all got her cards, and we got her a gorgeous bouquet of roses.
Okay, that doesn't seem terrible.
It's not terrible.
So what was the complaining for then?
Who, me?
No, not you.
Her?
I get dogs, flowers, breakfast.
She just doesn't like the fact that I said, you know, you're not my mother.
Yeah, but why do you have to say that though? Unless you didn't do anything.
I don't know.
That's my
point. I'm not sure. I'm going to stop talking this much in life. I think
keep your mouth shut. It seems like you did everything you had to do.
I did everything I had to do. I just discussed things through it. I think therein lies the problem. All right.
Keep those internal conversations, baby.
That's right. Maybe I can bounce it back and forth in between my ears. Like, bend
that. That little like a tennis match.
Like a tennis. Beep, 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 bop, bop, right back and forth. So, your Knicks.
My Knicks.
Your Knicks.
They're my Knicks.
Well, yeah. Your Knicks. Firstly, you know, let's give credit where credit is due. And that's Jalen Brunson, who was absolutely sensational. I mean, nothing short of sensational. And really, for the most part, it stops there. What a disgusting, disappointing, I guess you could say embarrassing performance from everybody not named Jalen Brunson on Friday night.
Well, I don't know about that. Not everybody. I thought Josh Hart was good.
Okay, all right, fine.
Let's not forget, too, his wife just had twins.
I know.
Man, was out there playing.
Serious question now, and there's going to be another one of these. Why would you ask that? Maybe I shouldn't, but I will.
No, ask.
Why did he need a private jet home? Don't they leave right after the game?
It usually takes longer. He was talking about not even showering.
So he just wanted to, like, run to the tarmac.
Like, he wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. Jet, okay. Boom, see ya.
Gotcha. All right. So, no, I was disgusted in that performance on Friday night. Disgusted.
Well, it was a winnable game. That's what made it worse. I mean, it was a winnable game. And the way it started, I mean, RJ comes out super aggressive. And, I mean, 8 for 8 from the free throw line. You build yourself up a nice lead. And then you run into the problem of... You mentioned Jalen Brunson. He played all 48, had one of those iconic, unbelievable game fives to push this thing to game six. So you're trying to find a way to get him rest. And, again, we were talking about this before the show, so this isn't Monday morning quarterback. We were texting back and forth during the game. Like, is it the best time to take him out with Julius Randle on the bench?
Oh, what are you?
Probably not.
What are you doing? Rick, the second they did it, it was so obvious John Winthrop saw it coming a mile away. Like, what are you doing if you're going to take Brunson out, which I don't love in the first place, but if you're going to take Brunson out, don't you absolutely have to have R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle in the game to kind of at least manage it to get Brunson back in?
Well, yeah, you would think. And it's really where you miss IQ. Not having IQ, how much of a problem that is. And then on top of that, I mean, R.J. Barrett just, I mean, he wasn't good. Shots weren't going down. So it was 36-30. When they put Brunson on the bench with Randle, he go on an 8-0 run. Here's the other problem, is that without Brunson on the floor, the Heat were plus 29. So, I mean, yeah, you're trying. I mean, these are all close games. You're trying to find some way
this
to give him some
series?
Rest. This is in the series, yeah. Okay. And foul trouble for him, foul trouble for RJ early. They end up going to that 3-2 zone, and the Knicks had no idea, like what to do. With Brunson on the bench. So you had to bring him back in. And, I mean, you had the ball down 2 late in the game in your best player's hands, and unfortunately it gets turned over, and the Miami Heat are headed to the conference finals back-to-back years.
Big picture. Tremendously successful season.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Nobody thought they were going to be a top 6 seed. They accomplished that. Nobody thought before the season they had any chance to win a playoff series. They accomplished that. They go toe-to-toe with Miami and have a real chance, like you mentioned, to at least force a game 7. So big picture, they did really, really well. When you look at what this series turned into, it was Jalen Brunson, a little bit of R.J. Barrett, and they got production from so few outside of that. And I've done really well, I think. And I think I've been fair in minimizing my criticism of Julius Randle for this postseason. I'm sorry, Rick. I can't do it anymore. I can't. This guy, 2 years ago, when they played Atlanta in that series, and he was awful, it was, well, he has no help, and there's nothing that he can do. Well, okay, fine. We let him get away with that. This postseason, and specifically in this series against Miami, he's third-team All-NBA. He has to give me more. And you can't say he didn't have help because Jalen Brunson was all-world in the series.
Yeah, I can't make an excuse for it. I mean, you could point to his ankle if you wanted to. I mean, I think that is... I think his performance this postseason and his body language and some of the other stuff that, you know, people like you and just Knicks fans that don't like him can't stand... I mean, it was, you saw how the fans reacted. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's gross that you're going to vandalize his poster.
No, I agree with you there.
I think that's what makes this feel the way it feels right now. Because how we should be talking about this Knicks team is we should be celebrating them. We went from before the season started hoping they could be in the play-in tournament to all of a sudden, you know, they trim down the rotation, they start playing great, and you're like, wow, forget the play-in tournament. Let's get to the 6 seed. Forget the 6 seed. We're talking about 4 seed. They end up with the 5 seed. They take care of Cleveland in 5, right? They embarrass Cleveland in 5.
They really
did. And now, I mean, you're playing a team that we didn't give enough credit to. They're not a run-of-the-mill 8th seed. Like, this is a team that was a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year with one of the best coaches in the league, playoff Jimmy Butler. By the way, the Knicks had no answer for Bam Adebayo either.
No.
And then... I mean, we should be celebrating the fact that they found a way to win Game 5 and bring it all the way to Game 6 and have a chance to really, you know, push this to a Game 7. But I think the reason why we're not is because of Julius Randle. because now you're asking yourself, rather than looking at this as a building block season, right, guys getting experience, right, Quentin Grimes getting great experience, R.J. Barrett outside of those first two games and game six had a pretty good playoffs. Jalen Brunson is a star. How he wasn't an all-star or an all-NBA player, I'm sure he will be next year because he's just, I mean, he's established himself as that now. Like, you should be looking forward to the future instead of, okay, you know, what moves are we making? Who's going to take Julius? Who are we trading? Like, it's just, the whole Julius Randle thing is kind of wet blanketed. Well, it's kind of wet blanketed, this whole thing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Show is flying by so far, but this is the real test. The uninterrupted 50 consecutive minutes.
Did you happen to notice how long it took me? Because this is usually when I have, I run and get Starbucks. You got the egg bites. I try to eat like a protein bar or something to make sure that I get through the hour.
Right.
Did you notice how long it took me to eat that protein bar by any chance?
No. A long time?
Yeah, it did.
Really?
Yeah, would you like to know why?
Do you have a sore on your tongue?
Nope. No, the mouth is fully healed after the pizza incident.
Good. Why?
It was 3 years old. Oh. Yeah.
And first bite, you realized that it had turned?
Yeah, I don't know if it's turned. I don't know if it, can it go bad? I noticed that it was very stale.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Wasn't great.
No. So you threw the bar away.
No, I battled through it.
you ate a 3-year-old bar which was stale and possibly turned, took a bite and thought to yourself, you know what? I'm going to power right through this baby.
I said to myself, this is all I have to eat. And if I don't eat it, I don't know if I'll make it through. So I got to do what's best for the show. And I powered through it. Bang, bang, bang.
You couldn't eat like a fingernail or something?
I spent the whole break chewing it. I know you saw me chewing the entire time. So yeah. Whatever it takes to have a great show, I'm willing to do it.
Have a very dry mouth right now, though?
It's extremely, not as dry as when Dan tried to have a day-old corn muffin, but it sucked quite a bit of saliva out of the mouth.
So let me just,
I've done what I came to done.
Make notes for myself. 3-year-old protein bar, not ideal, right?
Not ideal, and who knows what's going to happen once it hits the stomach.
I mean, right.
It could go sideways fast.
It really could. What happens if at some point during this 50-minute uninterrupted barrage you feel a rumbling?
I'm going to grab that trash can right over next to you, and I'm going to vomit right in it.
How about if it's a rumbling on the other end of things?
I'm going to...
No, you're not.
No, I'll sprint. I'll sprint.
You tell America I'm getting up and I'm going to the bathroom.
Right, I'll clench, and then I'll waddle right to the bathroom.
I'll carry. Now, Thursday, June... Trevor Pooh. Thursday, June 1. You can hang with us all day long. We'll start our day broadcasting live from Publicans in Manhasset from 6 to 10. Then we hit Citi Field's parking lot for a tailgate starting at 11 o'clock that morning, all leading into the game, 1 o'clock against the Philadelphia Phillies. So spend the day with us Thursday, June 1, starting at Publicans in Manhasset, then over to Citi Field for the D&R tailgate. And, of course, we're headed to the game. And we're sitting in section 128, so get your tickets and hang with us all day long, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN. Getting to know you, 6 minutes away. Knicks calls as we move towards getting to know you. 1-800-919-3776. 76. Tony in Queens. Good morning, Tony. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Before I get to my next point, Dave, there's always somebody who has the words on you. I pull out my phone, start watching the Celtics game yesterday while at dinner with my wife and the kids. Are you surprised that didn't go well? You know what I'm saying?
So you busted out your phone and you were watching Celtics Sixers at dinner with your wife and your children?
Yeah, in the afternoon, yeah. Like, my mother-in-law was there, too. I mean, like you said, she's not my mother, right? So about the kids, but that surprisingly did not go well.
Mm-hmm.
But I survived it. I'm okay. You know, bounce back, right?
So That's all you can do is pick your head up and move forward. That's all you can do.
Yeah. And then, you know, before I get to the next point, I wanted to touch base. You know, this Ja Morant kid, he just has issues. I mean, this kid is screaming for help. And I do remember Gilbert Arenas, I think, got a one-year suspension for flashing a gun in the locker room. It's a little different. It's not an NBA arena, but I don't know how the things have changed. But I think, you know, at this point, I would be worried. Some people are worried about his career and his money and all that. He has a little girl. As a father, I'm worried about, you know, your family at this point. Forget about your life. Forget about the money you make. About your family and your freedom, because he's probably going to commit a crime at some point. But my next point, I think you can't. I'm okay keeping Julius Randle. I think he's a great player, and what he does in the regular season does matter. I think he just needs to be coached, and he needs to be something mental. I will move away from Tibbs, though. I saw that turnover by Brunson coming a mile away. I mean, Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. You know, they knew how to guard Brunson at that point. They forced him to the right side. You know, they trapped him on the baseline. He had nowhere to go, and no help whatsoever from his teammates. Tibbs, you have a timeout there for 14 seconds. I'd love to let things play out. I really love to do that. But at some point, when it slows down, and you tell them, this is the possession of your season. You're 14 seconds, you're down by two. You know, if everything slows down and the defense is set, you got to call that timeout and set yourself up either to try to win the game or try to then go into overtime. So I think Tibbs has to go. I love him as a coach, but I don't think it's something that's clicking here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Here's a question for you. You see who was fired over the weekend?
I did.
Monty Williams.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Crazy. Does that intrigue and interest you at all?
It interests me. Yeah, I think Tibbs has done a really good job, though.
You can't argue that Tibbs has done a good job. The question is he the coach that's going to get you over the hump?
Well, did Monty Williams get Phoenix over the hump?
No, he did not.
Okay.
Is Monty Williams a better coach than Tibbs?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I know that
Eric Spoelstra is a better coach than Tibbs. I don't know if Monty Williams is a better coach. Now, if you told me that Eric Spoelstra was available, I would say let's do it.
I think you'd have to.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to. Let's go to Eddie in Harlem. Eddie, good morning. You're on 98.7.
How are you doing? Let me get right to the point. I think that a lot of Knicks fans and a lot of people just overreacted. A lot of people complaining about Julius Randle. 32 GMs feel that he's the third best power forward in the NBA. So if you're going to trade away
in the regular season, they do.
Okay, that's fine. But you have to go through the regular season and get to the playoffs. So if you're going to trade for him or make any type of move, it has to be a move that's clearly a clear-cut player that's better than him that you feel is going to move you through the playoffs also. Number two is I think the big mistake that everyone's overlooking is we held on to a small forward that was number third pick. I don't think R.J. Barrett is ever going to be an all-star. You held on to Obi Toppin because you felt he had so much upside. He had eight points in the last two games of the NBA playoffs. And then you held on to quickly that due to injury, not to his fault, but due to injury, didn't play. And now we have all these number 14 picks. Why didn't we just make the trade for Donovan Mitchell? Last point, if you make that trade for Donovan Mitchell, it even kills the team. Brunson, your leader, my go-to guy to score Donovan Mitchell, and Julius Randle, you just get everything else on the side. If you get and it balances out the team.
Eddie, let me ask you a question, though. You think that Julius Randle would accept that, though?
Yes, I think he has to. It's not about acceptance. He has to accept it. You know why? Because it's clearly in everyone's faces. Then you clearly are the cancer of the team. See, like right now, Rick, I think that Julius Randle's talent still outweighs his body language. And until that changes, you still have to stick with him. He's a two-time All-NBA player. I'm not defending his action as his body language. I'm not defending it. What I am defending is still making smart moves. And we were making smart moves until that move. I don't feel that. Rick, tell me what are you going to do with all these number 14 picks? You're not good enough to tank, and you're not I mean, you're not bad enough to tank, and you're not going to get a lottery pick. So why hold on to all these picks for what? For another 4 years, and then we're right back to where we at. We complain we don't have a competitive team to root for. We went out in the second round. There's nothing wrong with that. Like we complain for years. We don't have nobody to root for. We're not even in the playoff hunt. And then when we get there, we start complaining about that. Like everything has to have balance. But I think that not making that trade is going to haunt the Knicks for a long time, because you don't get superstar deals like that, and especially only giving up one starter. When do you?
Yeah, I think it depends. Eddie, I think it depends. Thanks. That was a great call. I think it depends on how you end up using those picks or using your assets. Like, because now you're stuck waiting again. I mean, it's kind of the same thing that we've been dealing with.
Yeah, you're back to the drawing board, right?
Well, that everyone recognizes that you need, like, Jalen Brunson is awesome, but you need someone that's gonna ride with Jalen Brunson. And who's it going to be? Who is going to be the star that isn't happy in their situation that we can pull the trigger on? The beauty of the Donovan Mitchell thing is that he wanted to be a Knick, expected to be a Knick, and then for some reason, like the negotiation with Danny Ainge, I mean, the way Stephen A. reports it is, Danny Ainge called Leon Rose and said, hey, listen, we got a better deal from Cleveland. Leon thought he was bluffing, and then they pull the trigger with Cleveland.
Right. So you played a game of poker and you lost.
And you lost, so you doubled down by signing RJ to that extension. And now, you know, you're trying to figure out how you upgrade the team.
Now, if he sits here and he says that Julius Randle is considered the third best power forward in the NBA by all 30 GMs, then I would imagine there would be teams knocking down the door to get a guy like that.
I think it would be attractive. I do. I mean, I just think that he has to be willing to accept the, you know, whatever role, though, and I don't know if he's there yet. I think, you know, I play with guys like this that, you know, on good team are really good players on good teams. And then when you kind of take that next step where that player takes a step to a great team or a championship caliber team, is now put in a different role that in their mind isn't really who they are. Like Julius Randle thinks he is. I mean, what he's been. Like, he's been second team and third team all NBA. He probably considers himself right there with Jalen Brunson as the best player on the team. And that's how he acts.
He acts like it, but he doesn't produce like it.
Regular season he does, but no, playoffs he hasn't. So is he will? Like, you've seen it plenty of times. Like, I mean, LeBron James, right? I mean, look what Chris Bosh was with Toronto. Look what Kevin Love was with Minnesota. Kevin Love was doing double-double commercials for ESPN, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, he's asked to take a back seat. And can you do that? Chris Bosh was asked to take a back seat. Can you be the third option? Like, it's easier, like, in theory, yeah, it sounds great. But then it's like, okay, you know, LeBron's going to take all the shots and D-Wade's going to take all the shots, and then you just do all the dirty stuff. And then when you get a chance, you make your shots.
Like, well, it would have been great if he would have made some shots on Friday.
Oh, if anyone made some shots.
Right. Yeah.
No, I mean, you can't, like, don't, I mean, RJ made one shot.
Terrible. But listen, I'm not defending RJ. But at least when the game started, you know, he tried desperately to get himself
right.
Going.
Yeah, no, listen, he was, I mean, 8-for-8 from the free throw line. But, I mean, you saw when Jalen and Julius were on the bench and it was RJ's show, what it looked like.
Shame on Santiago and Winthrop, too. Shame on those two guys.
Why?
Because they start, looks like Julius is getting going.
Well,
he made two baskets.
I thought he was getting going after Game 5.
It looks good for a second there. How are you going to get mad at me for saying this?
The guy is behind the curtain the entire show, and now all of a sudden he's like, whoop, here we go.
You mentioned me by name. I was supposed to stay here silently?
I couldn't take it. I was so angry at you guys in the group text on Friday night.
That's the problem. You're just angry. You're looking for reasons to lash out.
At you. I would have been fine. Did you notice that the second they started with, looks like Julius has turned it on, do you notice what happened then? It completely fell apart.
Well, because it always does.
That's my point. So why do you need to do that?
Well, it's not. It's Winthrop, though. Santiago doesn't have the power. It's Winthrop that has the power ever since the broom incident.
Yeah, it's over a year of this now. It can't be denied at this point.
No, it can't. It happened, and he has to fix it. Otherwise, he's going to be removed from the group chat.
How do you fix it?
I don't know. I mean, if he wants to sacrifice a chicken, whatever he wants to do.
Sacrifice chicken, no Disney trips, like
whatever. Yeah,
he can't give
that's
up
what
Disney.
He does.
Don't go
if
crazy.
He skips a Disney trip. You're right, Raymond. It's gonna really hurt.
It's called sacrifice.
You going to make that man give up Disney?
Well, I mean, listen, he's got a kid on the way. Maybe he decides that this is to appease the sports gods. He hangs back one time.
Yeah. Give up
is
Disney,
it bad, I too? I have a question for the show.
Yeah.
Is it bad that the first thing I thought when we did the tag team read was whether or not Tom's sister was still dating the 7-foot twins?
What? She was never dating the large twins.
Allegedly.
Why do you have this fascination that you think she was ever dating them?
I saw them. Allegedly not.
Wait,
dating.
You saw one photo.
Two separate men?
I don't like the insinuation that you just
7-foot
made there,
twins.
First of all, what made you think of that?
Because, I don't know, it was a tag team, Reed, me and Dave.
Yeah, you should probably stop there.
I watched some Jack Bauer last night, and I thought about Tom.
It's like a Double Mint commercial.
By the way, Kiefer Sutherland's new show, Rabbit Hole.
Uh-huh.
Is it Rabbit Hole? I think it's Rabbit Hole. It's terrific.
Really?
Yeah, I'm into it.
I watched a documentary this weekend.
You love the documentaries.
I love the documentaries. It was called Longest Third Date Ever. Have you heard of this?
No.
Yeah. So it's this New York City couple. They go on a blind date in March of 2020. Then they go on a second date like March 10th of 2020. They like each other a great deal. And then he says, kind of in jest a little bit, you know, it'd be great for our third date. Flights are so cheap now. Let's go away on a travel date. And she's like, you know what? I'll go. They decide to go to Costa Rica March 17th of 2020.
Gone.
Can't get back.
What do you mean they can't get back? They're stuck in Costa Rica?
Stuck in Costa Rica. Well, because it's the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
So they can't get back. They had to. They went for like 3+ months.
That's a big commitment. They'll go third day travel on the third day.
Third day travel. It's a mistake in its own right. But especially when there's like four people on your plane traveling out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that sounds interesting.
They video documented the whole thing.
And they're back now.
They're back. Well, yeah, I mean, yes, they're back.
Are they married?
Oh, they're still together.
Oh, nice.
But they're not married. But it's nice. You, I think you'd like it.
All right. Once I'm done with the rabbit hole, I'll check it out. I got golf coming up this week, though, too. I'm going to be very busy.
No, you're always a busy guy. All right. Let's go. Raymond, getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DNR.
I don't know who you are.
This is oh, my God. All right, getting to know you, brought to you by Sharp Hat.
I'm just glad I was able to play the intro properly this time.
Well, you have the intro properly. However, you have the outro written for me incorrectly.
Uh-oh.
But because I'm the professional that, in fact, I am, I'll remedy the situation.
Okay, no worries.
Okay.
Okay, so you guys were just talking about documentaries and shows that you were watching, interestingly enough. So the first question I will ask is, what's a movie you can watch whenever it's on? So in other words, it's you're doing something, you walk into the room, and a movie's playing, you're dropping everything to watch that movie.
There's a number of those for me. Would you like the number one? Would you like me to give you a list of a couple?
Well, if number one is like a clear-cut number one.
No, I'll tell you, Goodfellas, clearly. Like, I walk in, Goodfellas, it's like, ooh, now I'm in. Shawshank Redemption is another one, but I think the number one for me, Godfather 1 or 2. I sit down, it's on, I pretty much can't turn that off.
Goodfellas, probably also a favorite of John Morant.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Someone's going to tell him, leave the gun, take the cannolis. Someone's going to tell him.
Godfather, let's just say that all these drops are a Raymond J. Santiago production. I wash my hands of any of these things.
All of them. Yeah. wow, there's so many movies. I'm right there. I love Goodfellas, Godfather, no question. I'm flipping through and I see Caddyshack.
Oh yeah,
I'm watching Caddyshack.
Yeah, you have to.
Well, I love Caddyshack.
Very nice. That
was very fast. I mean, don't you want to get to know us better than that?
Okay, let's try.
Oh, do you want to list every movie that you would sit down and watch?
No, he's only got four questions. That's one of them. This is now a quarter of the way done.
There's always an option for more, depending on how much.
What would yours be?
You wouldn't be interested in mine.
I'm interested.
I'm asking you, what would yours be?
What is the Jessica Alba story? What is it?
There's a Jessica Alba story.
the Selma Hayek cleavage video.
It's totally for nostalgic reasons. No other reason. Like, the movie takes me back to my childhood.
Tell me the movie.
That's the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay, stop so, it.
Yes.
Stop
really?
It.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, no, because it's obviously, like I said, it takes me back to childhood, and I could probably recite the movie line for line.
Sing the song. Well,
no, there's no song. There's no song.
In a half shell.
So quickly.
There's no song. No, no, it's the live action vehicle where they're wearing the suits. And like the thing about the movie is it actually holds up pretty well considering the year it was made and the content in it. Like usually sappy comic book related movies, especially from back then, don't hold up pretty well. But it holds up well visually, it's got good action and it's funny. And
who would you be? Which turtle?
Leonardo.
You know, it always alternated. I guess if I was most relatable to any of them, it'd probably be Raphael because he was quick to temper, which is a problem for me. But yeah.
Yeah, we haven't noticed that at all.
Relating his life and himself to the Ninja Turtles is really...
This is why I said you can't relate.
You were right. You should have taken the knee on that.
And this is why. I don't tell you anything.
The man just finally shared something with us, and
you're right. I'm sorry.
You've given me complete justification.
I'm admitting I'm wrong. You're right, Raymond.
You've given me complete justification for everything that I've said to you.
No,
you're
correct.
Years.
It's my misstep. It's my mistake and my misstep.
So moving,
I'm sorry.
Moving
don't,
on to your next
don't
question.
Don't take your heart from us, please.
Moving on to your next question.
I'm going to get you a beautiful red bandana.
I'd appreciate that. If you were to live in another country, where would it be? You know, if you couldn't end up getting stuck in Costa Rica.
Italy. I have the spot picked out.
You already got the villa, don't
right.
you?
Right. No, it's a hotel. I would buy a hotel room and I would stay there for the rest of my life.
Right. You wouldn't buy the entire hotel?
If I could, I would.
And you could.
It's a pricey hotel.
Who are you lying to? You could.
No, there's a couple. I'll tell you why I got the idea. Because there's a couple we met there, and he's in the... Let me put the quotations up. He's in the construction business.
Uh-huh.
And he stays there for a month every year, for a full month, him and his wife.
That's nice.
They get dressed up to the nines. They show up at dinner. They dance. Oh, it was amazing.
You've talked about this gentleman before. I like Italy, but here's the thing. Life changes so much because now my TV schedule is chaotic. And as you know, everything has to be based around sports. I need to stay similar time zone.
No, not necessarily. Why can't you, if you're going to retire to a certain place, do something where you get the game started at 10 in the morning?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to go to Canada.
No.
Canada?
You're not nice enough to be a Canadian.
First of all, Toronto, lovely. Montreal, lovely. Quebec, lovely. Any of those three would be fine. There's an English-speaking feel to the country. I'm not too far from where I'm comfortable. I'm a creature of habit. You can say Italy. I'm not jumping you for that. I'm saying Canada.
He goes to America's top hat. America.
You couldn't
exactly
be trusted in Montreal. First of all, you couldn't be trusted in Montreal.
Oh my God! Could you
Montreal
imagine?
Loves me.
Yeah,
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
All right, Ray. Where would you choose?
This is cheating though, because it's sort of similar reasons to Rick, except I wouldn't have to buy a villa. I'd just go live out in the DR. Go live out in the mountains there. Never talked to
anybody. You were so happy when you were posting those pictures.
Oh, it was fantastic. I was so happy.
I thought you were going to choose Dallas.
It's not a country.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Would you send us coffee beans whenever we wanted if you were down
there? Oh, absolutely.
Illicit, illegal coffee beans.
We could send Tom down there to smuggle them back in his prison purse.
Or he could send those giant friends of his. They wouldn't even be able to check their entire body.
I don't know why you keep talking about this man when he has giant friends. They could do things to him.
They'll have bigger.
Bigger thighs to
yeah, bigger
strap
orifices.
The coffee beans onto.
Moving on.
I watched Deadpool. I was flipping through the channels last night, and Deadpool 2 was on.
Okay.
Some of the stuff in that movie is hilarious.
Yeah, there's some things that you can't say.
Yeah,
but I feel like I know where you're going.
I don't think there's anything you can't say on the radio.
You can try and just see how far it gets you.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
No, nothing. No, keep going.
On that note, I'm probably going to regret asking this one. What is a secret talent that you have that not many people know about?
Oh, Dave. Dave's very flexible.
Secret talent I have. Okay. I can burp.
No.
On demand. And
do it
I
right
can
now.
You really want me to?
Sure. Wow.
And I can crack my knuckles on demand.
That seems like things that people can just naturally do.
Also, I can fart with my hands.
Again, things that, people can do.
You, all right, I want to hear you fart with your hands.
It's not a thing.
Well, it's not.
That's impressive.
All right.
That's it. I mean, it's not a very manly fart.
Well, I'm not very manly.
It's more of a squirt than a fart.
His palms are sweaty. Leave them alone.
Yeah, I don't know if that sounds like a fart, actually.
Listen, these are my things, okay?
Secret talent I have that no one knows about. I can't fart with my hands. I can't sing. I can't draw at all. I don't play any instruments.
What can you do? You do nothing.
I'm an excellent cook.
That's not a secret. You tell us all the
time. Yeah, everyone knows about that, though.
I make my own pasta.
Oh, my God.
I can do a split.
I think Dave could make his own pasta.
No, Dave could not. But I can fart with my hands.
Dave is doughy.
4 pounds down.
I don't know. That's about it.
So he gave us nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I could do a split.
Nothing. We know you can do a split. You're a hockey goalie.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, listen, at this stage of his life, if he's still able to, that's an accomplishment.
There's something I know I'm very good at. I'm not going to reveal it on the radio.
Well, why not?
I'm an excellent at it.
You know what I have to say? You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WPN-FM, New York.
All right.
Raymond. Oh, no. You're not getting past this question.
Yeah, what do you got,
what's
Ray?
What's your secret talent?
Oh, you fart with your hands?
No. See, like we established in the first question, not answering anymore. That's
no,
it.
Come on, Ray.
No, don't punish me.
Just because I was dumb, you shouldn't punish everybody.
I want to know what Tom Bauer's secret little talent is.
Do you really want to know?
You have it ready to go, don't you?
I have it ready to go.
What is it?
I can pop both of my thumbs in and out of their sockets.
Oh, no! That's actually painful.
It's disgusting.
It's not painful at all.
No, it sounds painful to
us. Double jointed
thumbs? It can be it sounds painful to you, but I take joy in other people's pain, so I mean.
I had a friend who could bend his elbow the other way.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, what do you got, Ray? What's yours?
I used to play instruments in school. I was a sax player and clarinet player.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Can you still play?
It's been years, but I'm sure I could pick it up.
Why don't you bring the saxophone in one time and just you guys get a little song for us?
I don't have one.
You know what I used to be very good at as a child? The piano.
Flute?
The piano.
Why didn't you continue the piano if you were good at it?
Because it got in the way of sports.
Oh, yeah, because you were such an athlete.
I was a tennis player.
That was at 8. You got kicked out of tennis at 8.
No, I didn't get kicked out at 8. I played all the way through high school.
I don't know. I feel like you could have juggled both.
Well, I didn't really want to. I was kind of forced into playing the piano.
Yeah, but just think about how much fun we could have if you could play the piano now.
He could play the sax. I'd play the piano.
Right.
Put a band together.
I'll play the triangle or whatever you need.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you'd be great with the triangle.
The maracas? Cowbell? I could do the cowbell.
Sure
tambourine?
The thought of Dave on the maracas now.
No, how funny would that be?
It's in my head. It's there, and it will stay.
Okay.
Back to the Mother's Day conversation, because you made it clear, you're not my mother.
She's not. I mean, listen, I stand by it. She's a great mother. She's just not my mother.
What gives you more joy, giving a gift or sending one?
What?
Sending. Giving. I'm a giver.
Wait, giving or receiving?
Is that the same thing? Giving
no.
a gift or sending one?
No, giving a gift or receiving a gift. It's two different things.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
You know what? That's written in here poorly. You're right. It should be giving or receiving.
He said giving a gift or sending a gift is what he said.
I pulled a Ron Burgundy is what he's saying.
Yeah.
You like to give it or take it? What do you like?
Give the gift? I love gifts, period. I'll say giving the gift. I enjoy.
I think you're lying.
I think the evidence says otherwise.
Yeah, I think you're lying. I think you enjoy the gift.
I like both, but I like to watch the joy on other people's face.
When you say you're not my mother,
no, he sucks at gifts though. Him getting gifts he's the worst person to get gifts for because he doesn't use them.
No, I don't use the one you got me. I use most gifts.
No, because you got a beautiful Giants jacket that you just left in your
it wasn't
locker.
A gift. It's like 9 sizes too big.
At least bring it home.
I did.
A year and a half later.
Don tried to steal it.
Right.
Thief.
Beautiful headset. Never used.
Because you know what it is? You know what it is, honestly? I'm a creature of habit. And I'm just very comfortable with the headset I had, and I'm unwilling to move on. Not that I don't appreciate the present. I do.
Yeah, but it's better for your back. You can relax. Sherry already got you the plug-in. It takes 2 seconds. I mean,
You're not wrong.
Very easy.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. I'm a giver. I like to give the gift, Raymond.
You want to give the gift? I'd like to give the gift. I do love to receive the gift as well, but I'll give the gift.
I don't like getting gifts. I prefer to give them.
You don't like getting gifts?
No. I'm bad at getting gifts.
Interesting. Yeah. Ray, how about you?
Definitely giving, because I'm not one of those people who ever has an answer when they say, oh, what do you want for Christmas or your birthday? I say, eh, whatever. Because if I truly want something, 9 times out of 10, I'm just going to get it myself. So, and
because you're so wealthy.
No, it's not because I'm wealthy. It's just, you know, if I want it that badly, I'll take care of it. And also, like you guys stated, it just feels better to make someone else smile than to make yourself smile. So, there you go.
Really are a giver, aren't you?
Such a nice guy, Raymond. We got to find you a woman. What about Jack Bauer's sister? Is she available?
No.
Okay.
Who is she dating? One of the giant twins?
No.
I think both.
Do you like her boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
Does he like death metal like you?
No, he does not.
Do you hang out with him separate from her?
Not entirely, no.
No, you don't.
How long have they been dating?
I think like over a year now at some point.
Do you see, have you had like the talk with him yet where you talk about him being part of the family?
I have not even brought that up yet.
Will you?
If it gets more serious that I know of, then absolutely I would.
If he ever wronged your sister, do you go after him or do you send the giant twins after him?
I would go after him and I would bring the twins.
Oh, dear.
When you come as a three, do they carry you like on their shoulders?
I mean, we could do that, but
no.
No.
And they hoist him.
Yeah, I think like he rides one of them in on the shoulders. Like, it'd be scarier.
Yeah, but see, if they're on the side of me and I'm just walking in the middle, that makes me look more intimidating.
So when you're with them, you're never fearful of anything, right?
No, never fearful.
Right. That's gotta be phenomenal.
That's nice friends.
Yep. Raymond, is that it?
That is it for us, sir.
All right. That's Getting to Know You, brought to you by Sharp Hat, game-changing custom software.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You like May?
Do I like May?
Yeah. What's your favorite month?
My favorite month is probably November.
Because you love Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving.
And you like football.
I like football.
So Thanksgiving and football, very nice.
Very nice. I like fall weather, too.
And then you intertwine both of them, like on Thanksgiving Day, and it's just, there's no better day of the entire year.
It's bliss.
It's a relief. Relief.
But there's no presents. It's just food and football, relaxing.
But for him, it's very
family.
Stressful. For Santiago, he's got his Cowboys every Thanksgiving Day.
Well, and in this case, I'm just relieved that my turkey is safe this year. No problems.
You're lucky.
Terrible things Rick wants to do.
Go right after the man's turkey. Why would you do that? You have such respect
for
the turkey.
I think you know why I would do it. Well, I think you know why I would do it.
Because you have no respect for Santiago.
No, I throw respect out the window. My team's going up against his team.
Yeah, well, we'll have to deal in September.
Well, I don't play games like Santiago and Santillo. Oh, no, your hair's great. Do you put product? No, our teams are playing. Who cares? We love each other.
Well, I know RJ genuinely likes me. Sometimes I wonder with you.
Oh, my God. I've been with you since the beginning.
That doesn't mean you like me.
You know, there's long marriages that the other party doesn't love the other one.
Oh, my God.
There's open hatred there in some of those.
Yeah.
I mean, not one of those marriages.
So let's ask you right now. Do you love Raymond?
I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I would do anything for Raymond.
Who do you like better, RJ or Ray?
Cuddle, marry, trash.
I love them both.
Cuddle, marry, trash. Me, Raymond, RJ.
Well, no. I mean, that's a silly question.
It's not. It's a great question.
I would marry you, I would cuddle Raymond, and I would trash RJ.
Whoa. What the heck?
RJ left us.
I did not expect
for
that.
For a day!
No, I'm not. No, RJ left us at some point and went to the K-Show. RJ left us.
He did.
Yeah. Raymond has not. Raymond has been with me since the beginning.
Raymond wasn't on the show when I started the show with you.
Well, you abandoned me at night first. It was me and you at night.
It was me and you at night. Oh, we were elite at night.
And then I took your show at night, and then all of a sudden we just ended up.
We went all over the place.
We've been all over, and now here we are.
Every day part.
And now here we are. All right, so November's your month. You love the turkey, you love the football, And you're going to have a Black Friday football game this year.
Yeah, I was looking over our schedule again this weekend.
It's brutal.
The first six are tough.
Brutal.
The first six are tough.
Yeah, really are. All right, Dante East Brunswick. We'll get to the baseball in about 10 minutes. The Mets weekend and the Yankees as well. Dante, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
We're doing. What do you got?
Yeah, it was a tough one this weekend, obviously. But obviously in the moment, you know, everyone is on the get rid of Julius, get rid of Julius train, and obviously had a bad postseason. But I just think a lot of times people, you know, first couple – this is only his third playoff series. He struggled, no doubt. But I think the team is a better team with him than without him. Even in this series, you look in games 2 and 5, we don't win those games if he's playing.
I don't think it's a question of whether you're better with him. I think it's, to me, it's a question of are you better moving on from him and bringing other pieces in?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we're really going to be, what are you really going to get? Like, what kind of guy are you going to get to replace that production during the regular season? The playoffs is one thing, but I just don't think in the regular season setting, what are you going to get? The guy's going to put 25, 10, and 5. I don't really think there's that many guys out there, you know, that put those kind of numbers up.
There aren't. There isn't. I mean, there's a handful. There's a handful of guys that give you that production.
But do you need it from one guy?
Right. Do you need it from one guy? I mean, I think that. I mean, there's something to be said about the amount of attention he draws when he's on the court. Now, can he make, you know, good decisions out of that? A lot of the time, he doesn't. And he goes, you know, bull in a china shop. He turns the ball over and it drives people nuts. Or he dribbles the air out of the ball and then takes some really difficult shot. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I mean, these are not questions. I mean, these are questions that Tibbs and Leon, they're going to have to sit down and figure out, you know, what's missing. I mean, they definitely need to add shooting. The loss of IQ was a huge, just not having IQ forget him being hurt. IQ not playing like IQ played during the regular season this postseason was a problem.
Right, and then to not have him. I mean, McBride is at best fine.
Yeah, but I mean, IQ was he's a finalist for sixth man of the year.
I remember the game that he played against Boston on that Sunday where he went for like 40-something points when Brunson didn't play.
Yeah, he was awesome.
All I needed was like 4 minutes from him at the end of the second quarter.
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough conversation to have. I think the one thing is abundantly clear, though, is that the focal point of the team is Jalen.
That's right. And you feel good about that for the first time in a long time, where your star player is a star player. And now you build around that.
Right.
Whether it's you continue with Julius Randle or you trade him. And let's be fair. I mean, are you beholden to Mitchell Robinson either? I don't think so.
No. No, absolutely not. I mean, listen, the Cleveland series, great. This series, not so much.
Bad.
Well, I think he got exposed a little. I mean, Bam Adebayo is a really good player.
And he has no game offensively. So he's on the court and you are playing shorthanded.
Right. So, I mean, he doesn't help with your spacing. And if he's not getting you offensive rebounds and playing elite defense, then...
Then what are you getting from him?
Not much.
John Queens. John, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, last caller, he stole my big point. I'm not on this, like, this train of, like, we need to get rid of Julius. How many guys, like the last caller said, giving us 25, 10, and 5? Like, only, like, the elite of the elite players are doing that. I'm not calling Randall elite, but, like, 25, 10, and 5 is not nothing to bat your eyelashes at. I just think we need to fill this roster up with some shooters. And, you know, you need to win regular season games. I'm not ready to move on. And everyone's saying, like, oh, it's clear that Julius doesn't want to take a back seat. How do we know this? How do we know that Julius doesn't want to take a back seat to be a number two or number three? We're just all speculating.
Well, he's already a number two.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's already the number two. I think his body language would tell you that when he's not getting his touches and he doesn't have it going, he's not happy. I think people are just going off what they see from him and his body language. The complaining to the officials, lack of effort sometimes because his bad offense is now carrying over to his defense, which isn't great.
And you see the way he kind of mopes around the court when things are not going the way he needs them to go.
Yeah, and then people didn't like when IQ tried to, you know, help him out. He pushed IQ. People didn't like that.
Did you like that?
No, I hated that, actually.
That was terrible.
And I usually stand up for him, but I didn't like that.
This is supposed to be a leader of the team?
Yeah. He is supposed to be a leader of the team.
All right. Well, that's not the way a leader of the team works. LaRon in Queens. Good morning, LaRon.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. So my thing is Julius Randle, very bad postseason, you know, 9 points down from his average. But I think if he's willing to take a step back, we could get another player, it will be good. But the thing about it is we may have to use him as trade bait, which hurts us, and we'll still only have two players that will work. So we still down a player. So if we can find a way to get another player, I don't know who's on the market right now, but if we can get another player to complement him and Brunson, I think the Knicks would be in good shape.
LaRon, here's the thing, though. To sit and say that he's naturally going to be willing to take a step back. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was there anyone else in the Knicks that was all NBA? Or
no,
an all-star?
Not at all.
No, right.
Not at all.
Okay,
and
so
you
got to understand, too, but you have to understand, and I appreciate the phone call, the dynamics of a locker room and how it works. And I think part of the problem with Julius is that Julius sees himself as at a certain level. And the way he plays, how much he wants the ball, like that all speaks to how he feels about himself as a player. And he's not going to take a back seat to R.J. Barrett. But I think, unless you bring somebody in that he looks at and says, you know, I'm not at this guy's level, so I'll take a back seat. Like Kevin Love and Chris Bosh take back seats to LeBron James and, you know, in Chris Bosh's case, Dwayne Wade.
Do you think there's anybody in the NBA circles right now, GMs, coaches, scouts, evaluators, who look at the Knicks right now and say that Jalen Brunson is not clearly the best player on this team?
No.
Okay. So if that's the case, and you're Julius Randle, you need to either accept the fact that you're at best the second best player on this team, or you need to probably want to move on.
Well, no, I don't think. Listen, there's a big difference between accepting the fact that you're the second best player on the team, or all of a sudden now being the third option. Like, I mean, I think in his mind, I don't want to say he thinks he's better. He might, but I mean, him and Jalen are 1A and 1B. So, like, and you saw how it worked. Like, he'd come out in the first quarter, he'd get his, he'd get going. And then, you know, at the end of games, Jalen would take over. And they were fine with that. It's just the problem is that when you see him when he struggles, it's visually it doesn't look good when he struggles.
It really does not.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.